Yeah, welcome to Journeys with JP. This is Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com and Wolf Spirit Radio and No Borders Radio. If I click this button here, there we go. Now, yes, and now we're on No Borders Radio. No, we're not. We're being blocked from that. Never mind, we're not at that moment. Good afternoon, good evening. This is Journeys with JP, and I'm your host, JP, for the next 2 hours on Revolution Radio, Studio B. Today, I'm going to be talking to you, I hope. I'd like you to talk to me. It's a very weird time. Synchronicity abounds. So I'd just like to invite anybody who would like to call in, and I've got various ways of doing that. Freedom Screen. Freedom Screen 2, I think, on Studio B, but there are telephone numbers that are on the Revolution Radio chat room, so if you want to call in on Rev Radio, it's 310-421-4053, so I'll say that slowly, 310-421-4053. I've got numbers in the UK from Wolf Spirit Radio, and I've got numbers in the States. So if you would like to call in on 0141 356 4141, if you're in the UK, and come and talk to me. I'll talk to you about weird stuff. I've just been on this radio show in Ireland, and they wanted me to kind of take them down the rabbit hole in an hour and back. I think I totally spun them out. I am now going to bring in my charming co-host and assistant and general the foil, the Scully to my Mulder, Nancy Hopkins. Hello, Nancy, how are you doing?
Happy, happy, everybody. Oh, I've still got the radio on, sorry, apologizing.
That's right.
There we go. Yeah. It's quiet.
All right, yeah, that's the wrong one. Yeah, hello. Hello, how are you, my dear?
I'm doing fine.
So, where were we? We were.
Well, you're all charged up. You're gonna give us a good show.
Well, I was, thinking about things because, as I was saying, I was on this radio show earlier on in Ireland, and essentially, it's like a local radio. Hang on, you need to turn your speakers down a little bit there.
Me?
Yeah, I'm getting a reflection across your speaker. Yeah. That's good. So I was on an Irish radio station for Dublin, just south of Dublin, a place called Liffey Sound FM. And they had a one-hour-long show, and he was saying, okay, so where does it all come from? So I did my best to kind of nutshell the whole story, and maybe I should get somebody to transcribe it. Because it kind of really sums it all up, you know, who the Titans were, what the intergalactic mafia, the fact that we're on a mafia planet that looks like it's supposed to be a real thing, but it's just a kind of fake cardboard scenario that is it's just designed to contain us so that we can be siphoned off. And fed from and all of that stuff. So I managed to get a lot of information and I spoke very quickly just tried to get as much as I could over. But quite a broad subject, eh?
Yeah. Why don't you give us a synopsis of it?
Oh, wow. Can I do the rap again? Oh, wow. Well, let's see. See, the thing is that I got a focus on the as if nobody's ever heard of this stuff. As if nobody's ever heard that it's all run by the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds, and the Rothschilds are descendants of the Anunnaki, and the Anunnaki are the people that we call the Titans or the false gods, or basically the intergalactic mafia that sort of crash landed here a few thousand, a couple of dozen thousand years ago, having escaped from the intergalactic crew, who are rebuilding their empire, and they've created our society, or what we call society, is a basically it's a kind of cage for us, like a maze. It's made to look interesting, but as soon as you look outside of it, you see that there's a lot wrong with it, and that it's designed to just kind of squeeze us and milk us of our energy on just about every level. But it was a lot more high pressure. The delivery was a lot more high pressure because I knew I only had a very short period of time to kind of push it across. So where did it go from there?
Person you were talking to, had they not heard this before, or were they, I mean, how did you end up getting in that conversation?
Well, I mean, basically, he'd asked me on last week, and people, they're talking, you know, at the level, you know, why is our water bill so expensive? You know, that's the sort of thing that they talk about most of the time on this radio station, you know. Why doesn't my rubbish get collected, you know, my trash, you know, get collected? And also, you know, just really mundane things. But it's the show is like, you know, what you don't know that you don't know. So it's a kind of beyond your expectations anyway. So I think I really, you know, shoved the red pill right down people's throats.
What did he say? I mean, was he impressed? Was he overwhelmed? What was his response?
Well, actually, I'll put it on. I'll play it on Wolf Spirit Radio later when I've done all the live shows tonight, so that people can have a chance to hear this high pressure delivery. I've never done it like that before. Because I'm normally quite, you know, laid back, but he was talking very quickly and he would interrupt really quickly. So I had to keep the pressure up so that he wouldn't sort of keep interrupting me, which would break my flow. So I just kept the flow going, and somehow it all came out, and it kind of all made sense. Somehow it kind of managed to really nutshell it in three little 20-minute sections. So, as I was saying to him, that I've been listening to people on my show. I've been interviewing people who have been inside the military-industrial complex, like yourself. You've been inside the military end of it. You've been in the psychotronic end of it. You know, electronic warfare, telepathic warfare, all these different levels, and you know, you're not alone amongst the different members of the military industrial complex that I've spoken to. Stillings, you know, I'm always talking about Stillings. Doctor Who, indeed, in real life, you know, a time traveler. He's talking about. By the way, he's talking about the Pilgrim power station in, where is it? Is it? It's
in Massachusetts. It's in Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Plymouth, Massachusetts. That's right. He says that there's a kind of Fukushima that is likely to happen if nothing is done about it next March. So really, if you want to save the Atlantic Ocean from a Fukushima-like event, then they need to shut this thing down. So whoever's got the possibility of making any inroads in that, now's the time to make that call. Thank you very much. That was a public service announcement. So, what do you think of that? Talk about change reality.
Well, you know, when he said it, it was like, no, we don't have to do this. You know, I said to myself, because the future can't be predicted. It can only be recreated. So if enough people say, no, we're not going to do this, it won't happen. But people have got to understand that apparently Stillings has got a very good record. And if he tells you that it's about to happen, it's likely it is about to happen. So, you know, instead of saying, well, yeah, you know, focus on it. Say, no, this is not going to happen. You don't have to do anything. You just have to, it's all mind warfare at this point. We're dealing in an energy universe and mind warfare, and use your mind. Put it out there. No, it's not going to happen.
Well,
it's the only thing we can do.
You know, as Laura, okay, so let's bring up the subject. So let's go from this earlier this evening to yesterday evening. Okay. And I was doing my regular shows, but we had this special little show, a special little call while another show was going on. Anyway, for 3 days, outside my house, has been what is known as, in Scotland, known as a hooli. Aye, it's blowing a hooli out there, as they would say. And indeed, a hooli is like a 60-mile-an-hour, 40-mile-an-hour, 50-mile-an-hour gusting wind. It's strong, but it's random, and it's from the wrong direction for some reason. There's a kind of venturi spiral vortex effect that causes the chimney. It's a long story, but basically there's a vortex that pulls air down into my chimney and cools down the flue, and then sends smoke coming through my house. So I regularly end up kind of having to open all the windows and do all this stuff. And so it's a real inconvenience, this little delightful little wind, the little hooli. And so I was on this call with Nancy and a couple of other people that we're talking about the station with, and so at the end of the call I'm moaning about the weather and the smoke and everything, and Nancy says, wasn't it great that the weather changed? And I got what she was saying. I said, yeah, it was great that the weather changed, isn't it? Thank you very much. Good idea. So I step out and I go outside and I look up, and there's no more wind. This wind has just stopped dead in its tracks. And
well, actually, what I had said is, how is it? Because if you pose a question to the universe goes out of its way to create the reality of an answer. So I said, how is it that these storms just simply dissipated?
That's right, And it stopped raining and stopped blowing wind all day since you did that, or since you said that thing, and all day until earlier this evening. And indeed, it started blowing again. And there I was with my my new device, which I've called the lung, which is, I took a computer pan and a piece of flue pipe, you know, stainless steel flue pipe, and molded it and fitted it into the intake of the stove, so it blows back with as much force as the wind is blowing in. However, it still ends up blowing out through the holes in the stove. So I was again getting very frustrated, so I stopped and I took a deep breath and just thought, oh, how lovely it is that the weather has changed, you know, the wind has stopped blowing. And my stove is running smoothly. There were no more gusts after that, so it stopped it once again.
Yeah, it comes from the concept of that the universe will do anything to give us what we want, and that if we pose it as a situation in the future, immediate future, then the universe just simply makes it manifest. And any of us can do this. You just have to start practicing. Just do it. And so I suggest to everybody that we all say, how is it that pilgrim plant is situation has been taken care of? No problem. It's not going to happen. Stillings is going to be proven wrong, and I'm sure he's going to be grateful for it. But how is it that the pilgrim plant does not have any kind of a problem? We don't have to stipulate that it's been shut down. We don't have to stipulate anything. The universe is much more ingenious than we are in any kind of manifestation. So how is it that the pilgrim plant is not a problem?
Well, that's very interesting. So I just getting a question in from the chat room, and this is from Vibes. Is JP, do you think the wind spirit or spirits are a collective or an entity? Have you talked to it and seen a shift? But actually, we weren't talking to the wind spirit. We were talking to probably the zeitgeist, the time spirit, the spirit of the moment. That here we are. We're in a reality that we think is fixed, and yet these coincidences are happening. You know, people are saying words as you're reading them. You know, you're listening to the radio and somebody says a word just as your eye is scanning that same word, This is happening, like, instead of, it used to happen like every week, you know, a couple of days you'd have something like this, but now it's happening like almost several times an hour. This is what I call the event, as far as I can see. I don't know about you, Nancy, but are you feeling the that this is the at least the it's going up the hockey stick, as it were, going up on an exponential curve of how fast and how more often and more often the synchronicities are happening?
Right, because, like, well, one of the rules of cosmic reality, I think it's rule 5, but it's that coincidence, there is no such thing as coincidence, it's really thought and action. And when Cheryl was on last night, you know, and she was, you know, saying that we have all these abilities to do things, but she wasn't seeing them happen, it's because she was locked in the box. And she wasn't seeing what's happening outside of the box. And more people are understanding their own powers. And they have started to use those powers. And the more they use the powers, the faster everything gets. I absolutely agree with you that things are happening much faster. One of the things that I've noticed lately is the synchronicity with numbers. I mean, I turned and looked at the football game yesterday, and it was 3 minutes and 33 seconds left in the game, and it was the third down and 3 yards to go. Now, that's a lot of threes, you know, and it was just one glance, and I went, oh, my God, look at those threes. So, and I've been seeing threes and ones and twos. I mean, I'm seeing, yes, those are things that happen to you, but in the last few days, it's like every time I turn to the clock, I'm seeing 333s or, you know, 222s or 111s.
Yeah, and also more geometry, things like triangles and circles and that are more like pure forms, like pure symbol forms. Well, they occur in my life, that, you know, that sort of stuff happens. Triangles, squares.
Yeah, it's very interesting because it feels like the you know how you've got a structure and you've got the framework of the structure, and then you put all this stuff on it and you no longer see the framework, but the reality that we're into, the changing elements of what's happening around us are essentially taking off the facade, and now we're being able to see the structure, and the structure is always geometry.
And what it also turns out is that geometry is the result of sound. It's kinematics in three dimensions.
Energy is geometry. It takes the form of geometry. Irregardless of what kind of energy you're pulling in, at some point, if you can stand back far enough, it's geometry.
And so, spirals and spirals and spirals. So, the spiral of... because, right, so most people think the sun is, you know, the oh God, all right, I'll start again. Solar system, that's the one. The solar system is a flat disk, and we're just sitting there spinning around the sun. That's not the case. Like I was saying before, the universe is alive, and everything's alive, and everything dances in a spiral, and spirals around spirals, and spirals around spirals around spirals, etc. So... it's more like a comet that we're being schlepped behind the sun, and that our sun is also being schlepped behind another thing, which is what we call Alcyone of the Pleiades, and then that too is being schlepped behind another thing that is even bigger, and so on and so on and so on, all the way back to the center of the galaxy on bigger and bigger spirals, as the galaxy itself is a huge spiral twisting its way through space around probably something else as big. It just goes on and on and on.
Yeah, we're moving millions of miles an hour through space at any given second. You know, and that's very difficult to comprehend if you keep yourself locked in the Earth mode. But if you just allow yourself to expand out, you can see, oh my God, we are going someplace very quickly.
Yeah, and who knows what is just sitting still. We might be traveling 20 million miles an hour, sort of relative to the space that the galaxy is moving into. But what if there's something there that is just sitting there still? You know, that means we hit something, or it appears to come up on us at 20 million miles an hour.
Well, we wouldn't see it, nor would we feel it.
That's right. We wouldn't see it coming. And that's the nature of things, you know. We wouldn't see it coming. Where would you see something from? Yeah. So, yes, the idea that there's other spirals of things, and that there's another spiral, which is that our solar system is spiraling around itself as well as we're spiraling around, and that's this thing that they call Nibiru, which is on like another little solar system that is going through our solar system, you know, like a little sort of miniature one. What's your take on that? Have you experienced? I know you know it's like, well, they're not in our reality, so we can zone them out. But indeed, there's an idea that there's some dark force wants to kind of make it slam into us, and that we can make it move out of the way because we can counteract all of those forces with our ability to manipulate reality. Hey.
Well, there's a theory that you really can't. Veliskovsky's in his discussion of worlds in collision, it was a comet that supposedly got too close to Earth, and he said that you really don't have planets that are colliding or big celestial bodies that collide because of the, you know, the geometry of it, but that you have energy forces that are set into motion. So you would have like the comet at the time of the Exodus that he was talking about that ended up becoming the planet Venus. He said that there was explosions of electromagnetic, like the two, where one was negative, one was, the Earth was probably negative, the other one was positive, and they started to do a charge, like a lightning bolt between the two. And that because of this lightning bolt, the comet, which was basically carbon oxygen, just started to have all this oil basically fall into the Earth. And that was the falling pillars of fire and pitch that's talked about in the Bible. I don't know. If we believe that there are ETs, and I do, I would think that they would not allow that to happen. What's the purpose of destroying Earth at this point in the game? So I can say, you know, that I think that is probably not a problem. But I also think that if it really was a problem, then we can also adjust to it. You know, we can say, no, it's not a problem. How is it that this thing that was supposed to be so awful is not a problem? And let the universe fix it. The key to everything is understanding our own ability to manipulate energy. We are extraordinarily powerful people, every single one of us. But you have to be able to access that power. And really, that's only a state of using your own thinking process. And the thinking process, which is you can't have creation without consciousness. So if your consciousness is locked into, I've got to get the money to pay the car payment. I've got to get the money to put my kid in school. Then you don't have the ability to imagine what it's like if you don't have all these constraints on you because you're locked into the maze. So some of us, like myself, probably like you, have had lives that have allowed us to have a certain amount of freedom that allows us to imagine what it would be like to be all powerful in our own minds, that we can do this creation stuff. There's a lot of caveats that go with it, like, you know, that absolute power demands absolute responsibility. But the fact is that unless we try it, unless we put it out there, unless we take a chance like you and I do, saying, yes, we tried to change the weather and by gosh, it changed. If we don't do these things, if we don't test it, we'll never know whether I'm telling you the truth or not. But we've got to practice it. We just got to do it. We've got to play, you know, games in our heads. But that's the freedom, is the games in our heads. And so many people don't understand that you can just play games in your heads and change reality.
Yeah, I think, well, it's really, this is part of the this week's quest, really, is about self-doubt. Is that how powerful self-doubt is unbelievable. I'm not kidding. Self-doubt can create the worst situations in your life, and you think that the world is all out to get you, but you've actually created it yourself through your own self-doubt. I'm not talking to you personally, Nancy, but this is the process. We find that self-doubt causes you to behave in a strange way, which puts out certain signals, which causes these events to be attracted to.
Absolutely. That's the problem that we do have, is that, again, we're proving the case of the power of the mind, but we're proving it with negative thought. And the reason that we get into this self-doubt is that we are continually being subjected to fear. Doubt will limit you, but fear will absolutely cripple you. So, and I tell people, I say, look, at 99% of whatever you are afraid of does not happen. You waste a lot of time worrying about 99% of everything. You know, the thing that gets you is the thing you didn't see coming, but then you didn't worry about it. Anyway, there was no fear. So we have to stay vigilant and respond to a really dangerous situation, like, you know, the lion's about to eat me. But you don't have to worry about all of these imagined fears. And because if you start getting fearful and you start, what was it? 70% of the thoughts that a human being has are really negative. Weren't you talking about that?
Yeah, that's
with
right.
Tracy? Or no, with Michelle?
Yeah, Michelle was saying that yesterday, that on her...
Yeah,
correct. We've got a little bit of a delay going. Yes, I'm here still. Michelle was saying on her show, you getting me now?
Yes, you're fine.
Okay. Michelle Caruso on her show yesterday was talking about this, that 70% of the thoughts in this particular study were actually negative thoughts, that they didn't have the wherewithal to keep everything positive. And I believe that those, you know, that if people didn't listen to the news, it wouldn't be the same figure. I mean, it's an average that they were talking about. So obviously there are people who have many, many negative thoughts, and there are people who have many fewer. But to be on average 70% negative is that's not a good sign. And it's a sign that everybody's been traumatized and broken down, and as I was saying at the beginning of the show.
Well, I used to watch a lot of news. About 80% of everything that I watched was news, and it was an attempt to understand what it was they were feeding everybody. And now I don't watch any of it. And yes, the reason I stopped watching it was that it was one fear thing after another fear thing after another fear thing after another fear thing, and nothing is happening. There was no awful awfuls. The awful awfuls were coming in from some odd place that you never anticipated. And so it was like, no, this is just garbage. They're just filling us, our minds, with all of this negativity so that, yeah, it drives you into a place of thinking all these fearful things. And once you stop listening to them, and once you start listening to us, then your whole brain gets lit up. It's no longer got that dark, stinky, oppressive, oh my God, we're at the end of the world, things are going to be, you know. No, it's not. It's like, no, we're at the beginning of a new world. And my mother used to tell me, you know, be careful of who you hang out with, because the person that you're hanging out with is giving you certain information that is in effect going to affect your mind and the way you're thinking. So if you surround yourself with people that are positive, that are constructive, then that's where you're going to go with them. If you surround yourself with negativity, it's just going to destroy you. So, yeah, absolutely. Not only do you have to be very careful about what you're thinking, you have to be careful about what other people are thinking about you, because inadvertently you end up being swayed to their point of view, because their point of view is what is considered normal. We have to be afraid all the time. Our point of view is, no, you don't have to be afraid. There is nothing to be afraid of. We can together fix everything. We just have to understand that we do have that power.
Be unafraid. Be very unafraid.
Yeah. I like that.
Because it's the vibration that is causing. So, I mean, last week I was talking about this little telepathic incident that we had. That, you know, in front of witnesses, I said I would do something telepathically, and you confirmed it a few hours later that that was exactly what happened. Sorry, I nearly just got a shock off my resonator. So we're doing these things. There are many thousands of people listening. Some people believe what we're saying. Some people are like, they must be talking out the wrong ends of their digestive system. And there are some people who are considering this as a potential reality, that it is possible that reality is a lot more flexible than we've been led to believe. And indeed, it becomes what we think it becomes. What we cogitate. Hey.
Let's go back to that telepathy thing again, because it taught me a lot. What happened was that Jay and the group of hosts on Wolf Spirit were on a conference call, and they were trying to get me, but I wasn't to be gotten. And so Jay said, well, I'll just send her a telepathic message. And I was actually out in the yard with my neighbor, and we were doing something out there, and she was kind of preoccupied, and all of a sudden I felt this, like, why do I have to go back to the house? What the computer? What? You know, and then I felt Jay, and I'm going like, okay, seemingly Jay needs to talk to me, but I kind of panicked, because we were supposed to have a show on, and we do different times of show, and I'm going, am I got my time wrong? And I'm going, no, it's Monday, it's an 8 o'clock show, it's, you know, 6 o'clock, it's no problem, it shouldn't be any problem. But I felt that, you know, okay, he wants to talk to me, I'm gonna break off this conversation and go talk to him. So I come into the computer, I immediately turn it on, I see what's happening, and I'm about to respond that I'm there. Now, had I done that, that was within 5 minutes of you sending the message, because your message had a time code to it. If I had done that, we would have had all of the hosts of, because you had just about everybody up there, I think, all of the hosts of Wolf Spirit up there that would have seen you send me a message and then me come right back and respond to it. But in what happened in the interim was the phone rang. And so I answered the phone before I answered you. And had that phone call come in, you know, a minute earlier, I would not have heard it. I'd still been outside. Had it come in 30 seconds later, I would have made that connection. Sorry about that. I would have made that connection, and all these people would have gone, whoa. But what really happened was that when you went out there and you said, I'm going to try this telepathy thing, even though we have some of the most enlightened people on the face of radio, some of them, powerful people, said, oh, yeah, this is bullshit. And so the universe said, oh, it's bullshit. Well, then we will stop her from making that connection. Because when I did hang up from the phone call, all of those hosts were gone. It was you and Colleen Michelle were still there. And you guys would have said, yeah, I think he can probably do it, because we've been together long enough that we can feel this connection. this telepathic connection. I mean, sometimes we've had conversations and we weren't even hearing each other. We were just responding to what impulses we were getting because the signal was bad. So it was a demonstration of, yes, that telepathy works, but also that if somebody is fighting you, if somebody doesn't want your reality to prevail, then they're just as powerful as you are because you didn't anticipate it.
That's right. And that is exactly what I'm saying about self-doubt.
Yeah.
This is you know, we're saying the same thing from another point of view, which is the doubt that something exists, the skepticism, actually creates negative force of creation, which destroys the creative force of creation, and that is why people's lives can be such hell, because their own self-doubt, their own internal dialogue or internal monologue, and we often have a critical voice in the back of our head, the first time that I found it disappeared was when I put one of these pyramids on my head about 1992 or something. It was like some psychic thing, and stuck this thing on my head, and I realized that I wasn't having that negative feeling anymore, that negative thought, and so that really, yeah, wow, that's cool. Yeah, I took it off. I put it on. Took it off. So it was quite an interesting little excursion.
Well, Walt Silva has developed. Well, he goes on shamanistic journeys, and he was given the frequency that would prevent somebody from having a negative thought, and the frequency is basically the length of a copper coil. So then he coiled it, and I think he was with a group, and he said, you know, here, I want you to hold on to this, and I want you to think of something negative. And he said they could pull in a negative thought, but they couldn't keep the negative thought. So it basically is a frequency. And we have been bombarded by a frequency that nurtures negative thinking. So, you know, what we got to do is put a frequency into the new reality that is just the opposite of that. It doesn't let you go to a negative frequency unless you're being about to be eaten by the lion. You know, and it's all tricks with energy. It's energy that, you know, magic is simply manipulation of energy. We're here to understand how to manipulate energy. And the other thing we've been talking about is that this has gone way beyond the kind of like supposition that, oh, well, it's possible. This is science. We're measuring some of these devices. We're being able to measure, Walt is, the frequency of love, the frequency of joy, the frequency of that will prevent fluoride from being effective in blocking the pineal gland. So it's all frequency, and we're just learning it. But the more people that get behind us, I mean, what do they got to lose? Yeah, we could be as crazy as you know, Looney Tunes. But the reality is if we're wrong, you know, Plymouth is going to go. If we're wrong.
Well, there you go. I mean, that's the thing. So from time technology to space technology, here we are in the are we online to Transylvania here? Are you there, Vosto?
I am here. Yes. Good. What is it there? Afternoon? Evening?
In PST, we're in afternoon. In UK, we're in the night. And in Florida, what's the weather like in Florida?
Oh, it's perfect. It's, you know, I think it's probably high 70s right now. Nice and dry. Beautiful day.
There you go. So Vosto, Nancy, Vosto.
Vosto, yes, nice to see you again.
Yes, very nice. I have some questions, I guess. But Wolf is a psychic, so he can just state them to you right now. On my behalf.
No, I didn't say I was a psychic. Nobody said I was a psychic. I told you this is a science. It's not a psychic. It's not necessarily psychic.
You are the mind reader.
No, that's Nancy.
Okay,
yeah, go.
I'm gonna chill around here with you guys, but I have some questions, like really serious, very serious questions.
Serious questions. So I'll start off with your first serious question and see how we get on with them. With
I would begin right now.
Yeah, good. Start.
I heard a bit of the conversation. So here is the first one. Why would you want to prevent someone from having a negative thought?
Well, they can have a negative thought, but they can have it in their reality. In my reality, I want only positivity. It's a decision of what my reality is. I don't care if they have negative thoughts, just so long as they don't have negative thoughts within my reality. So what I'm saying is that I'm putting out my own reality, that we're going to come into a future where we don't worry about things, we get things done.
Very and, nice. But if you have a negative event happening in your proximity and you are not aware of it and you don't want to be aware of it, you are just going to be obliterated by that evil force.
Well, that's why I put the caveat that if the lion is about to eat you, okay, if you are in a dangerous situation, see, you have to understand that, yes, we have dangerous situations where you do have to have a negative thought. You got to be able to program in what might be about to happen to you so that you can do some kind of reaction. But the negative thinking that we're talking about is what is driving the self-doubt. It's like, gee, I don't make enough money. Well, as soon as you say I don't make enough money, you're not going to make enough money. If you had said, how is it that I have plenty of money, and you put it in the future tense, then you lock in the future, and the universe will do everything it can to do that. But we've been so programmed that when you say, the universe, we've been programmed so that if you say, I want more money, I want more money, then the universe says, fine, except that you've been programmed to think that you cannot get any more money, that you are locked into space and time where you are subjected to all of these negative things that hold you in place and not let you expand into what you can be. So it is mind trickery. You have to play mind games, not only with yourself, but with reality.
That is why you need to be specific. Because then people like me will not take you seriously when you say, oh, we must be positive, everyone together. You know, it just makes you sound a little bit less credible. So be more specific with your information. That is my suggestion here.
I thought I was. I said, if you got a lion about to eat you, then that's a different situation. It's the day-to-day programming. You know, just think of it as a day-to-day programming. You know, 70% of most sampling that they did, 70% were having all these negative thoughts. There was no lion. There was no threat. You know, they're just having all these negative thoughts because we've been programmed to have those negative thoughts because those negative thoughts limit us.
You're saying we're being programmed, but I think we program ourselves because society is created in such a way that you're just focused on survival and don't even have time to read anything, you know?
That's because of the fear. You know, like I say, doubt will limit you, but fear will cripple you. So they're continually making us afraid. And as long as you're in a state of fear, you're in a state of doubt. If you don't allow the fear to affect you, 99% of what you're afraid of doesn't happen. So if you just say, look it, I'm just going to go through life. I'm going to believe that I'm going to be okay. You will be okay. You will go through life and you will be okay.
I think it depends on what the actions that you are able to do with your life. If I'm just going to stay here in my couch and say, I'm going to be okay, you know, that will not happen. I have to act, not only think in a certain way. Of course, thinking in a positive way does help you better your actions, whatever it is that you are doing. But let's not become mindless people and say, oh, love everywhere, because that's when we become superficial. And if we use this superficiality all the time, the words will lose power. You see, we, for example, here in my culture, in this Transylvanian land, we use the word love only when we truly mean it, and that is when it actually has power and meaning. You know what I mean?
No, I use love all the time, because if you continually say love, you're programming your own DNA to have the vibration of love. If you never say the word love until you're in lust, then you are in lust. You're not.
Let me bring you an analogy, though. If you listen to the same song all the time, it's a good song, but you listen to it, you kind of get bored, and it loses its value over time.
Well, the word love does not.
I'm happy for you then, but you know, I do a psychological interpretation here. What I have observed with the Western culture compared to the more Eastern cultures here. You know, here when you say love, it truly has power, and you truly feel a great experience. As when I look in the American media, for example, they say love all the time. I love you this, I love you that. And they don't actually mean anything from what they're saying. They're just saying it in vain, and it's just lost. It becomes
With all due respect, you're making an interpretation. You're saying that it doesn't mean anything. How do you know it doesn't mean anything?
I see it in the actions of the, in the way they say the words. They're just like, oh, okay, I love you, goodbye. I love you. It's no power there. It's nothing.
Who says I love you like that? You don't want to hang around with people like that. There's love is a force. Love is, I mean, it's a really, it's a word that focuses many, many, meanings. And, there's like what you might think as true love, which is, I don't know, does that really exist? Is it like the whole twin flame thing? Is it just made to disappoint us to think that love is something that you will never ever have, that you'll never attain, and only if you behave in the right way and you do all the right things will you ever get the girl that you want and all that stuff, and find true love and all of those things? How much of that is a manufactured thing to cause us to chase something that could never exist, or you experience the moment to moment reality of the here and now?
I look at it from the scientific aspects of it.
Very scientific.
The Russians and the Soviets before them researched DNA, the 90%, the supposedly junk DNA. The Americans and the British and all the Europeans are all looking at the 10%, and they're saying, you know, 10% of it shows that there's 90% that's junk. And the Russians said, that's crazy. Let's look at that 90%. And what they discovered is that at the DNA level, there is a mechanism that is very similar to an internet system, but it's minuscule. It's at the DNA level, and it works on vibration. And the most potent element that will change the vibration at the DNA level is the human voice. So a human voice, whether you think that there's any intent behind it or not, that says the word love, it puts out a
source for this information.
It puts out a frequency that actually changes the DNA at your cellular level. So the more people that use language that is uplifting, like love and joy and, you know, compassion, those words, they're actually remodulating their entire physical body at the DNA level. So to me, it's energy. To me,
can
the
I
word
see a source,
is energy.
A source for this information that you have about the Russians.
Excuse me, but the source?
Yes.
Just go online and Google it. There's thousands of articles about
thousands
what the Russians
new age
are doing
websites
at this level.
Conspiracy theory websites with this speculative information, yes.
No, I look at the Russian scientific links. The ones that I don't...
Name some good science sites that I can browse right now.
Say again?
Name some good science websites that I can
browse. I don't have them at the tip of my tongue.
If you would research all the time the scientific stuff, you must know at least one of them.
No, sir, I don't.
Oh, well.
You can Google them. You can, you know, decide that I'm full of crap and I don't know what I'm talking about. But I have spent 40 years studying this stuff.
I don't attack you. It's just that I'm a little sad because I see this new age hippie stuff that's not really going anywhere. And on the Facebook pages, it's just promotion of some memes with no meaning whatsoever. You see, like, these huge... Earth, but we are all one and stuff like that. And in this whole time that we are philosophizing, people are being killed in the Middle East and they all die and no one cares. You know, that's what I'm about. Reality, not living in a fictitious unicorn fluffy universe.
Okay, the best recommended source that I can give you for what I'm telling you is a book called Cosmic Reality. It's written by Nancy Hopkins. It's an extraordinary book, and I'm not saying that because I wrote it. I'm saying it because I read it. And if you want to find out about energy and about how the reality that has been presented to us can be changed, read the book. I'll send you a free copy, autographed.
Very nice. I don't know about the shipping, though. It's kind of complicated. I live overseas.
I can do shipping overseas, sweetie.
The options. Yeah. Well, okay. That's all I had to say.
Thank you.
Not much for today. Yeah, JP, I want to speak with you at one point and do like a little... interview thing in which I can learn more about what is it that you are researching.
You're trying to nail me, aren't you? You're trying to nail me. You never will, because I'm not to be nailed, but I'm not the marrying kind. But I will give you what I can and try to introduce you to my version of the universe. Which
yeah, I want to get from the beginning. You know, very easy steps, so that I don't make retarded speculations. You know, if you take me very easy, then I might not.
I'll apply coconut oil to all the appropriate parts. Are you a musician, Vosto?
Yes, yes, I am.
So you understand the nature of harmony?
Yes, in the musical. Wave spectrum.
Do you play guitar?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so you understand harmonics. Like if you touch the guitar halfway along.
How did you know, man?
Yeah? And if you touch the guitar at one third of the way along, you get harmonics, don't you?
The guitar is the most common played instrument. That's why you knew that I play guitar. Anyway.
Well, no, it's because I play guitar, and, you know, but the thing is, it's the...
Yes, you need to get in harmony. I agree with this.
No, more than this. More than this. It's geometry.
Geometry.
Of the division by one half, the division by one third, these are geometric forms. Geometric relationships that create literal geometric forms in three dimensions. If you were to be able to visualize them, making a waveform in three dimensions, they create a form, they create a shape, and that's the shape that creates the atoms.
Oh, is this like
this is real? This is real. It's called
like the DNA shape. So somehow,
you Google the word chymaglyph, CYMA, or just chymatic, CYMATICS, and this is the form that sounds make.
Ah, I know this. I saw a documentary, yes. Cymetics.
Pioneered by Dr. Hans Jenny, spelled J-E-N-N-Y. I think yeah. It was like Swedish or Norwegian. So, you know, he first did it in 2D, right? Just on a plate.
Yeah, but what's the point for all this, okay, though?
Wait. It does stem out. So what you find is, as you go up the frequencies and you make these things in
fractals
in 3D, you make a chymoglyph in 3D, which is a chymatic form, what you find is that they take the form of certain crystalline structures. So
yes.
What we're seeing is that the frequency that creates our form creates the form of atoms, and atoms create the form of the crystalline structures, which becomes...
So you're saying that the sound is basically behind it, not that
yes.
the sound creates these things, I don't know how to explain.
It functions the same in an analogous way to sound, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it is the same way as saying that this material object here, if you magnify, you see fractals inside it, it doesn't mean that it's the thing behind it, it's a consequence of the subatomical things.
Yeah, it's interesting. What happens? Do tornadoes connect together? I don't know. I've never seen that. I don't know if they do. Essentially, so you've got these vibrating objects that are vibrating at a frequency, and the frequency creates the form.
It's just sound, though.
It's not just sound. It's not just sound. That's the thing. Sound is in the beginning
break.
Was the word. Here
oh,
we go.
No.
In the beginning was the word, and at the end is this little guitar tune that goes doodle 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 doodle, and then Mike comes in and says, "Yes, indeed, back." Oh wow, yeah, things are getting warm here. It's great. This is Journeys with JP. Our journey has taken us across to, hang on a second, Transylvania. Oh yeah, I just wanted to say that.
You anyway. Need more echo though.
So and not only has it got Transylvania, we've got area code 519, wherever that is. Where are you, 519? Hello.
519's in Ontario, Canada.
Ontario or Kannada. Hello, how you doing, eh?
Oh, that's right, Kannada. Yes, that's right. Village. you know what? First thing is, shout out to Mr. Internets and Beyond. I miss his program.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, very much. Where are you now? Can you be heard? I'm asking these questions. You, sir, have so much to say, but no one is listening to it. Okay.
It's okay though. I got used to it. I'm doing other things nowadays. But
I do
have a show that I do more for myself, but it's on Dark City Radio. It's a very underground place, with even more underground than this, if you can believe it.
Well, is that right? But is it still available?
Yeah, it's darkcityradio.com, but it's just me. It's just me. There's no other show.
So can you maybe give JP that part of it, and he can put it in the chat room or do whatever?
What's your name in chat? I can just private message you.
I don't want to put this out on the on the air here. Private message me. I mean, I can do that off air. I would not.
I mean, I don't
that.
Really like to advertise other stations on this station. You know, that's. But you can PM me. You can PM me in the chat. I'm Vosto. You can see me there, and you can right-click on me and say private message, and that's all.
Okay, cool. Right on.
And you say hello, and then I just link you out.
Okay, fan. Anyway, I just wanted to say that you know, there are those that miss your message, okay? And the one that resonates with me the most was a show you did. Oh, man, it's got to be a year and a half or so ago, where you said that most people want to ride on Jesus instead of write his message.
Yeah, something
that?
Like that. It's I do remember when I said that, actually. But it's like you say, one year and a half ago or something like that. And those who preach, it's like talking about riding a bike without actually being able to ride a bike. Trying to teach someone how to ride a bike without even knowing how to ride the bike yourself. Which is what's happening with these sort of religions and cults that we have.
Yeah, that's right. That saying you put there resonated with me personally anyway, very, very much. So, and I appreciate that. I appreciate it. And it, you know, once again, if you keep listening, and JP will know this, you keep listening, when you can listen and then you hear and comprehend, doors open up. And once again, you have to keep an open mind. And you, sir, internets and beyond, that's what I know you as. Keep up whatever you're doing, because what you're doing is right and whole. Okay?
Thank you,
JP, for having me on. Okay, and we'll yak at you later.
Yeah.
All right.
I really appreciate that, man.
Well, there you go. That was Area 509. Is it one of your fans?
You get my people calling you.
Your people. Hey, so tell us, how long have you been on air? So Dark City Radio is your were you a team and then everybody went away and it's just left you, or did you just start it and nobody else has joined you? What sort of?
I don't know. I was friends with Bob. I was friends with Hawk, and Bob and Hawk just got angry at each other for some reasons. I don't know. I don't really care, but I'm friends with both, and I don't want to ruin this friendship, you know. But
you love them both the same.
The reason why I do my radio there is because I can say whatever I want. I can use foul language. I can play whatever I want. You know, there's like no rules. Chat room has no rules. No rules. That's what I like.
No rules. That's American Freedom Radio, isn't it? No rules. No annoying adverts. No, that's not true at all. Anyway.
Well, this place is really cool because otherwise I wouldn't be here, you know? I mean, I support this place. It's just that I can't do two shows anymore because there's not much to say. I'm not like those who talk about generalizations for their whole show and just fill the spots with random chatter. You know, I like to put on my show just information and some valuable interpretations. I have guests, I interview them objectively, trying to do something, you know. And that, I don't have content enough for two shows.
So you're a man of few words, huh?
I am. And when I get on, I ask the right questions, the ones that penetrate you deep. And at the risk of the one who I'm asking actually is at the risk of getting mad, which is always fun.
Getting mad or getting mad?
Getting mad, very mad.
Okay. Well, have you managed to annoy people enough? I mean, what sort of percentage do you annoy, and which sort of percentage do you ever find that you've taken your guests beyond where they normally think they are?
It's just people who take themselves too seriously are the people that should be confronted more. Somewhat help them to self-criticize and be more, let's say, close to the thoughts of always changing. Like, for example, when I saw that there was the first thing you see when you enter the chat room are a set of rules, right? Well, I organized a little event one time. I took like 20 anons, and we flooded the chat, and we poked everyone. It was so funny. Just to say, hey, you can not be that serious, you know. That's trolling, man, but trolling in a good way. Trolling with a message. That's what I do.
Trolling with care.
Yes.
So in your shows, what kind of people have you been interviewing? What sort of walks of life
For example, the last show, I interviewed Mr. Clint Richardson, who used to be a sound designer for many games, actually. Most of the important games and also movies, you know, stuff like Resident Evil 5, very known games. A man who saw the evil workings that were doing, that were happening, and he decided to quit the industry and talk about what it has become. And he is a good researcher. He now has made a book. He has his own website. Very interesting. So that's one case. You know, I like to interview people which really have something to say, not people who talk about unicorns in space.
I don't think I've had any guests that talk about unicorns.
I don't know. I don't listen to your show that much.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You know, you I'm very much into what is real. And, you know, to me, the basis of everything is geometry. You can't fake geometry. There's either things that, you know, subject. I'm sorry?
I wasn't really good at that subject.
It's real. There's nothing, you cannot deny a regular tetrahedron. It is just the smallest form you can make with as many lines as you got, you know. And so if everything is based around that, and if sound creates these forms, then that's the basis of reality, and so everything will obey similar rules, and that's the way I work.
Yeah, but material creates forms too. You can say that sound creates everything.
Yeah, because everything is vibration, and everything's a standing wave.
But the vibration is not sound, though. Sound is a result. Just like material is, you know, just like the visual light spectrum.
Yeah, is also expressions of vibration. Yes.
Yes, and vibration. What is that? You know, that's the question.
What is what vibrating in what? That's the question, isn't it? You know, something vibrating, and if it's sound, it's got to have some medium. You're talking about the medium. And in the old days, they used to say it was ether. And then they said, oh, no, ether doesn't exist. And now they're running around looking for something that is actually ether. And they're looking for a new name for the same thing.
See, the way I see it, many people might have the truth. They might know what they're speaking because they know what they feel and they see the reactions of their actions. It's just like making an experiment and seeing that it works, and then you can verify and, you know, it's real. But I think there are also those who don't know what they're talking about and are promoting false beliefs which have not really been verified, and basically scammers. You know, and those are the ones which I try to find. But I mean, I don't even know what I'm saying anymore, because I don't. It's not like I stalk people and that guy does that. No, I just think of the world back. Let's go back to the Inquisition days, or may I, you know, with
yeah,
the
but
Catholic
nobody expected
Church.
That.
They killed. They didn't care if someone was right or not. They would just kill everyone who was different. You see, I'm not like that. I think that in any minority of, they can be truthers or whatever, magicians, there might be those who actually know what they're talking about. And those are the ones who I want to meet and I want to talk with.
Okay, so here's the thing, you know, because there's all sorts of people who are authorities, aren't there? And yet, how do you know if somebody is actually really an authority or whether they're saying that they're an authority? How do you tell?
Well, you can sense if the person is honorable or not just by the fact that, you know, for example, you have... Let's take the domain of truthers, right? If you have Alex Jones who's like, this and that, and at the end he's like, buy this, and buy that. So he creates the problem, and then the solution to his problem is to buy his stuff. So that's when you see that he's just a scam. And that's how it is with the other domains. You know, they come on radio shows and they say, I bring you the knowledge. blah, 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 and talk an hour for a bit, just generalizations, which everyone can accept because it sounds half-decent, then it can fall. It has a sense of logic, okay? But if you go down deep and you ask more questions and more questions, that person might eventually crumble and have nothing to say to you and just try to evade. But the thing is, they come on the radio shows and then they say, "Oh, go ahead and buy my books. My books are there for you." You know, so if someone is true about a message, he just gives it to you because that's his main purpose, to give the message. Here's my writings, what I found for free. What I do for money is what I do for money in this crappy system where you have to work for money. But if I want to give you my knowledge, which will help you become independent and free, I cannot sell you that, because then it would mean that I have been corrupted by the system itself.
Well, now let's step back out of that, because we've got to realize that the system itself is already fixed, not in anybody's favor, but the people who are running it. And we know that the people who are running it are a bunch of extraterrestrial mafiosi who have taken advantage of a difficult situation that we faced a long time ago. And so as far as I'm concerned, the system is at an end and is no longer a reality. If anybody's still hooked into it, they'll go down with it. This is the whole thing about, you know, being involved with the war. If you're involved with the war, you've got a war going on inside of yourself. And if you want to stop the war, and if you want to stop the cruelty, you stop the war and cruelty that goes on within ourselves, the self-doubt that happens. This is take us back to what we were talking about earlier.
You have 90% of the people who, you see, these people who are actually doing conversation like this, like you and me, like whatever, they're only like 1%. It's not how the hippies said in the Occupy movement, where we are the 99%. We're not. We are the small minority which has been always persecuted. So how do you switch the mindsets of 99% of people to make them think in your way? Because there are so many that have a different moral system, and they think that to succeed, their whole good and evil thing, good means for them to step on other people and just get more wealthy and to not care about anything that is surrounds you, and you can't really communicate with these people. And we have this become a large section of the earth, then, you know, people like you and me talking won't really change them. So how do you change them? Is it by force? I think that's not what we want. So we have a paradox here.
You got to realize that this is what they call an information war, but it's really a psychic war. It's the war for your soul. It's the war for the energy that you give out as allegiance to something. And you're either you're either feeding one wolf or the other wolf. You know the old wolf story. You know which one wins, the one that you feed. So what I say is, if you wish to defeat the powers that be as they are, and you wish to create a new reality, then you stop feeding the old one, and you start creating for yourself and for your people that you know, and all the people in your vicinity and all of your environment, and everything that you do, you move forward to something that will benefit everybody rather than benefit a few people.
Yeah.
And that's what I call creating the future for without any powers that be. In fact,
but your neighbors, how do you change the mindsets of your neighbors? They would be like, "We don't care about your theories. Go away, you stupid, whatever." You know, that's what I'm speaking about. Reality. How do you change your environment around you when you are forced to live, for example, in a big city? You pay your rent in a small condo, and you are surrounded by people who you don't even know and who don't even trust you. And when you say them stuff like this, they're gonna be, they're gonna think you're crazy because they're not used to this kind of information.
you start radiating, and you don't say anything, but you do. You just behave in a correct fashion, and that will radiate. But if you are in if you do have, like we were talking about before, self-doubt thoughts, that will come out of you, and it'll rebound and come back to you, and the world will be crap. But if you do create positive thoughts, and I mean positive like gratefulness, like thank you for the opportunity to be breathing once again on this planet another morning. Because today I can change it. Today I can make a difference to one other person, to two other people, to thousands of other people. That's your opportunity. I've got this airspace, and I'm so grateful for it. I'm really grateful to Hawk for letting me on this network and having the opportunity to say the things that come out of my mouth. And I'm grateful for the joy that gives me, because I see other people on the other end saying, yeah, that makes sense to me, thank you very much. And that's all I need. But, you know, if you spend a lot of time on the internet, you've got to find some way of paying for it, haven't you?
I mean, you have to enjoy the criticism as well. The people say, hey, you're not right here, you're not right there, you know, especially if they have a rational way of criticizing. But to not go away from the track here, we live in a system where we don't even have the same neighbors anymore, so it's very hard to even form a community, because they just move around all the time. They are forced by their job, by their circumstances. So if we don't have a united community, then we cannot do much, basically, in the terms of objective solutions.
Mosto, I want to jump in here for a second, what I see you coming from is and believe me, I understand the concept of trying to organize at the neighborhood level. I went out and talked to all my neighbors in order to stop a problem that we had with a developer in our area. And everybody said, oh, you're not going to be able to do it. Well, we did it. The neighborhood came together. You can always come together as groups, and that's what I believe is the way in the future. However, you're working from the standpoint of trying to convince somebody of a particular mindset. Where I'm coming from is that I don't have to change anybody's mindset. I have to change their vibration. And the way that I believe that we can do that is that if each individual realizes that we are an instrument that vibrates, and if we can make a pure sound, that sound will cause a resonant vibration in everybody around us that will want to go to that same pure sound. That sound is love, is joy, is compassion, is all the things that really make human beings, and I'm talking about that pure human being that is just sweet as can be. Most human beings I do not like, and people that know me know that I have a low tolerance for a lot of people, because they're not coming from the heart. The heart puts out more energy than any other part of your body, including your brain. And if you can live in your heart, if you can believe in the energies, if you can believe that by saying the word love, you are actually changing your own vibration, that vibration will then go out into the super consciousness, and everybody will eventually, if you have a very small, dedicated group of people who understand everything is energy. If you have that group, and we have that group, and we have already passed what's called the 100th monkey syndrome, everywhere I look now, I see changes in people. Not because I'm writing books and convincing them that this is the way it is. I'm convincing them because I'm convincing a lot of people to understand energy. And that's because so many people do understand energy. Jay and I talk about it. We talk about it to a lot of people, how energy is the core of everything. And the basic thing behind the energy is the geometry. And beyond that is sound. So when we get out here and we're saying these things over the internet and we're just putting it out, it doesn't even matter if anybody's listening to us. We are putting that energy out. We are changing because of the very fact that we're talking. So the difference I'm seeing between you and what we're saying is that we're talking energy. We're talking science. I've been at this for 40 years. I have researched it in so many different ways. I was an electronic warfare officer for the United States Army. I understand energy. So that's the difference, and that's why we're having a discussion here, because I understand where you're coming from. I tried it. It didn't work. You're absolutely correct. Nobody listens to you. But once you begin to understand that you are a very powerful instrument, and you tune yourself to a very powerful signal, you will make the changes that we all want to see.
Very nice monologue there. It was like 5 minutes. Very nice.
Very poetic. I think, thank you.
Very poetic. I mean, I can do stuff like that. I can sound as inspirational as that. But it just seems like pseudoscience for me. I mean, sound is just like light. It doesn't mean that light is the origin of the universe or that sound is the origin of the universe. They are just consequences of the universe. And the vibration that you speak about, which is the origin, whatever, it's not connected to sound. Sound just acts like it because everything acts a bit like the source, because it's a fractalious universe. Everything is a fractal. So no wonder you see similarities between different forces in the current physics world. That's the only issue I disagree upon from what you said. But the rest of that was pretty inspiring.
Well, let me ask you this. What references do you have to make the suppositions that you just made?
I'm not an expert in physics, so
that's the problem, darling.
It's just my personal opinion.
And I honor that, but you're not an expert in physics.
Neither are you.
Where are your science?
Where are your degrees in science?
We don't have those kind of degrees because we're into a different science.
That's why I'm not saying I'm a professional. I'm not a
professional. You think a credential is going to make?
You should say that too.
You think a credential is going to make a point to somebody that is working in a science that they're keeping secret from you? They don't want you to know this. It's the fundamental secret of the universe, that if you understand energy, you can make the changes. And because you have never studied what we are studying, what we are proving, I suggest that you go back and you listen to some of the programs that we've already put out where we talk deep science. Because we're finding it, because we're measuring it, because we're testing it, because we're seeing it happen. This is new science.
Do you have a laboratory where you test all this?
Yes, we do.
Oh.
Seriously? The planet. And, you know,
I knew. It was something imaginary, of course.
No, it's the weather, you know. Things change. Things can change. It's, you see, all right, so basically, how does In your universe, is everything a mechanistic Newtonian universe?
Well, you see, the theories that Newton and other physicians have discovered are just some mechanics, some consequences of the universe itself, and that's how it works. But I'm not saying that the visible light spectrum. If I discover now the visible light spectrum and it looks like it's lighting the planet, it doesn't mean that the planet is created by the light, just the same as it's not created by sound. That's all I'm saying.
That doesn't sound like you're saying anything. But it's all a result, you know, the whole electromagnetic spectrum.
Wait a minute. You said sound is the origin of the universe, and that doesn't make sense either. It's energy, but energy is not sound.
Is it sound? Is it energy? Is it thought? Is there a difference between those three things?
Thought is a human aspect. Thought is a human perception.
Consciousness. Thoughts are things that have people. Consciousness creates thought.
The origin of consciousness hasn't really been discovered. It has been a mystery in the psychological world.
Well, in the psychological world, I mean, what kind of psychological world are you talking? Are you talking about like the psychotherapeutic world, like the medical therapeutics, which is like bound to the trying to make through people fit in, or through Jungian, or is more of a philosophical kind of world?
I wouldn't say
only theories.
For example, what Freud wrote wasn't purely medical. It was just him trying to discover the mysteries of the mind. And that which you call consciousness cannot really be pinpointed. I mean, the New Agers say it's the, the pineal gland, but you don't really know what that is because it hasn't been studied as much.
Has it not?
Oh, it has been studied. It has been studied, and it has crystals of calcite that start to vibrate. That vibration links you to your higher self. We know this. We can measure this. We can see the changes in this. Fluoride is designed to gunk it up so it doesn't work. Now, let me ask you something. Do you believe in telepathy?
I can't do it myself. No one has been able to prove it to me that it works, basically. But I do believe it could be possible. That's where my point stands. It could be possible. I don't know because I haven't experienced it myself.
I have experienced it. I used long-range telepathy to essentially spy on the Soviet Union. Okay, so I understand telepathy. I have studied it. I have taught it. It is something that is very, very real. And what you're saying to us is from your perspective, but you have not studied, you have not been fortunate enough to have the experiences to see these things in action. And what I suggest is that maybe you should get out of your own space and let your mind expand and imagine what you can do with your own mind. Instead of telling us that we don't know what we're talking about because you have never studied it.
So you're part of a parapsychological division of the military?
No, sir. I was actually working outside of it. I did it on the sly.
So you don't exist on any records of the government?
Oh, no. I have a large record. I was a Soviet expert for the Army Security Agency in electronic warfare.
Can people verify that somehow? Like see your name on documents or something?
Sure, I'll give you my Army records if you want them. I mean, you know, yes, that's all very true. It's very provable. But the fact of the matter is that there's a lot of science out there that people don't understand because it's being hidden from them.
Yeah, but if you prove it with crystals and telepathy, it makes it very less credible for people, you know?
What people like yourself? Who are they?
Skeptics.
Skeptics will never believe anything. So you have to discover things for yourself.
If you care about all the people on the planet, you should try to talk with everyone, not just say, oh, they are skeptics, we don't care about them, we only care about our choir.
What I say to the skeptics is, don't say that I'm wrong if you have never researched what I have researched. I have written books. Read the books. The information is there. It's in my books. It's in 1,000 other people's books. The information is out there. But you have to ask the questions. You can't say, well, I don't know that, so it can't be true. You have to say, why is Nancy saying that? And then follow it. Why is Jay saying that that sound is so critical to creation? And then look at it. Don't just dismiss it because you don't know it.
I have nothing to say, but you know, I'm lost right now.
Lost, or just
this
give
is,
yourself...
This is a new universe for me. Yes, you are right about that. This is a new universe for me. I totally want to find out what it's about. you know.
Let me tell you, it's so exciting. That's the thing, is that it is so exciting. It will take you out of the limited view that they've put around you. We were all in it. You know, I was 15 years old. They killed President Kennedy. I didn't buy into it. So from a very early age, I never bought into it. My whole life, I've been asking questions. The reason I went into the military was because I knew the answers were there. It's so exciting. And there is just a universe of knowledge that has been kept from the average person. And what I'm saying to you is, you know, just follow it. Just go with it. Imagine that it's possible. Imagine that I could sit in Washington, D.C., take my mind and go to a place in Russia and look over the shoulder of somebody who's reading a secret manual and come back with that information. Imagine that it can be done. Imagine that there are archangels and that there are extraterrestrials out there. Imagine that there are many, many other different dimensions. Imagine that there's a thing called shungite, which is a mineral given to us by Gaia that does so many incredible and unbelievably scientific things that we're
Gaia,
into.
Gaia, see, you use these new age type words. You know.
Well, so what? Gaia is not a new age type word. Gaia is a secret word. It was a Greek word for Mother Nature, and it is a powerful word. Why? Because it's a vibration, Gaia. It's a vibration. And as Jay Pitt pointed out to us, what is the G in the symbol for the Freemasons? See, this is what I'm saying.
I don't think
Boston.
It's Gaia.
It's so
though.
Exciting.
I mean, everyone speculates. Some people say it's God, some people say it's Gaia, some people say it's something completely different. You know, who do you believe? There are so many theories out there that they all say the same thing. You must open your mind because you are limited and you have been programmed. They all say the same thing. So how do you discover what's truth and what's not truth?
They're telling you the truth. You've been programmed. You know, open your mind. Look at different options that are on the table. There are so many things out there. And I agree with you. There is a lot of crap. But you have to be able to sift through the crap. Luckily, you came to the right place because JP and I don't give you a bunch of crap. We tell you what we understand because we've experienced it. Because we can repeat experiments. You know, we've got a device that is called a shungite spiral. Now, it's simply a copper in twirled, you know, a spiral of copper. And inside of it is this mineral I was talking about, shungite. Now, it is a magical piece of equipment, but you can tell it's working. Why? Because when it starts working, it gets cold in your hands. It drops a whole degree of Celsius. So what you've got is you've got things that you can touch, that you can see, that you can measure. And that's what we're into. And, you know, go to cosmicreality.net, cosmicreality.net, and there is a tab, and it says Wolf Spirit. Go to that tab, and underneath there is a whole year's worth of Jay and I starting to understand shungite and talking to one another and making devices right on live radio.
Shungite store. Order from us right now. So you're creating an industry based off of this?
No, actually, sir, it's my mission to get shungite to the people. I'm not making money on that store. And anybody that has been around me long enough knows that I have given away thousands and thousands of dollars worth of product. My mission is to get it to the people. The problem was that when I started saying to people, get shungite, they couldn't get it in the United States. And I had been in the mineral business, so I knew basically how to start it up. So you can take that attitude with me, and believe me, I understand that attitude, but I can also tell you that I'm not making money on it. Nobody's making money on it. What we're trying to do is get to be a point that we are successful enough so that we're not losing money, and that's mm-hmm. where we're at. That store that's does good. Make enough money to support itself, and we're in the process of going into a nonprofit because I'm retired. I don't need the money. I don't need the fame. But I have a mission, and that mission is to get this magical thing to the people. Yeah. And I suggest to you, if you want to have a conversation about it, first, look at what we've already done out there.
And here's the thing, Vosto. Vosto, you live in Transylvania, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you know Finland? How far is Finland?
Very far. I can't tell you exactly, but it's like 1,000 something kilometers away north.
But it's on a continent. It's on your continent.
Right? Yes, it is. It's,
okay,
it's
so
just
if
north.
If you're interested, and you know, you could probably get some. Do you live in a town?
I live in a town. Yes.
Yeah, there's probably a place you can get hold of your own piece of shunga. You don't have to buy it from Nancy, right? Because you're in Eastern Europe, right?
Yeah.
And so
I live in the nature. I've been in nature all my life. I know how to survive in it. I know everything.
Good. Good. Good, good. But check this stuff out. You can buy it. Shungite. S-H-U-N. It comes from the river Shunga, and it's a version of fullerene. Have you heard of carbon 60?
Nope.
Nope. All right, check it out. Fullerene. F-U-L-L-E-R-E-N-E. And you can just Google it, and there are all sorts of pieces of information about it. And it's... I don't want to build it up.
How does this help you in an objective way?
All right.
Like all this stuff that you are promoting.
Right? Okay, so here's the thing. It's used primarily for cleansing water. Okay?
I have water from the mountains. It's from the stream directly. It's just going through a pipe, but that's it. You know, it's not even being treated with fluoride and all these things conspiracy people complain about. You know, here water in Romania actually has no fluoride at all.
That's very good. That's very good. And it's probably very good because it's structured.
Sometimes they use chlorine, but just in the big cities because the water gets,
bugs, yeah.
Dirty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They nowadays, in the modern world, we use ultraviolet light, or UVC, to destroy bugs.
Own my own water. I have limitless water from the mountains.
Undying stream of water.
And I have a very good river right next to my house from in which fish exist. It's not polluted. It's just the best view ever.
You could have a website where you sell your fish over the internet.
I'm not going to sell.
Still alive in a little tank.
I don't even kill them. I'm not one of those, you know.
You talk to them and
I just let them exist, mm-hmm. just like an alien species lets us exist, you know. Mm-hmm.
So do you
I'm pretty independent. I'm not like those automatons that I try to speak with.
Why do you try to speak with automatons? Why don't you listen to people who are likely to listen to you?
Because they already know. It's no point coming on Awakened Radio or Truth Radio or whatever, because the same people that already know this stuff will join to listen. We need to reach out to those who have no idea that this stuff even exists.
They don't know that they don't know.
Because that's the majority of the population.
Yeah, and the problem is a lot of the truthers are going out and they're saying, you're all idiots, you don't know. So who loves the person who's being called an
sheeple.
Idiot?
Yeah, the sheeple. I don't like people who use that word. You know?
Yeah, so, I don't want to go out and say, look, you're just all wrong. What I like to say is, what you've been told is wrong. Everything you've been taught is wrong, and it's very complicated, but you don't have to listen to me, but if you do, come and listen to my station, here's my card. And I don't say very much after that, unless they're interested, in which case they'll never get rid of me. I just trail around, I go wherever they go, they're walking around the supermarket, and I'm going around and talking after them, you know. So.
Well, the thing is, if you speak with someone today, you're perceived as a threat. They're just entering their defensive mode. And I don't think it's good to go in an invasive way like that. You will just become like those new breeds of Christians who just come and bother you. You're trying to have a nice day in the park, and they're coming with their Christian stuff right at you. You know, in the old Christian tradition, they would just stay in mountains, retreat themselves in the mountains. If someone came to them, it was good. If no one came, that's also good, you know. So that's the perversion of religion. What's now is just a business.
Do you know who really get me? Do you know who really get my goat?
Well, let's not become a business. That's what I'm saying.
Do you know who really gets my goat? Is the followers of Cthulhu. Them and their eight tentacled...
Yeah, they're funny. Cthulhu, yeah. I think that was an internet thing, right?
I don't know. There does seem to be a religion. There's Pastafarians as well, which is another kind of tentacly thing.
And Jedi Masters, yes, and whatever.
Yeah. Actually, that's why whenever
do you sell any tinfoil hats, Jedi, by the way?
Sorry?
Just kidding. Do you sell any tinfoil hats, by the way?
Tinfoil hats? No, I sell pyramids. I sell copper things.
You have to put them on your head?
You could. Depends what shape your head is, really. A copper pyramid, you can, if you're in America, you can buy them from Pyridine, from Fred Bell, or what's her name? Megan Bell. And they're lovely little, scale versions of the, geometric scale version of the, Great Pyramid. And, they're very good, and they put the vortex in your cortex, and, see the whole thing. Right, so, what you're talking about before is like, you know, hippies say we got to unify, right? But what you've got to understand is it's not about external unification. It's not about a whole bunch of people getting together like Occupy or people getting out of the street. It's because we've been...
No, they say we are one.
Yeah.
But one what? It's like, that just sounds like communism. That's what they used to tell us back in the communism days in Romania. They were like, we must form together, unity, blah, blah, blah. And these guys say we are one without realizing that everyone has their own moral compass. Everyone is different. Everyone understands every word different. Even freedom. There are tens of thousands of types of freedom within anyone's mind. So when you say we are all one, you have to understand that everyone is actually very different.
All right, here's the thing. We look at the way that molecules fall together and they kind of clump together with their whatever they, you know, they choose to be their neighbors for that expression of their crystalline nature. But we have they clump together. People vibrate together. People. And I'm going to quote this thing that Hawke has put on. People shift to their tribe. People vibrate, you know, birds of a feather flock together, they say. You know, there's a truth behind it. And you are strengthened by being surrounded by people that essentially agree with you and support your perception of who you are. This is the idea of but you, I mean, you have to be actually authentic to start the whole process. You can't just kind of come along and say, can I join your gang, but you're not actually vibrating at the same frequency. You're on a different octave, you're in a different note. So you have to be aware of what you're really, you know, how do you get to your tribe? How do you recognize who your people are? How do you find your soulmates? How do you find your podmates? How do you find the people that you are supposed to be with? Because you know that you're supposed to be with someone, and you maybe know, you know, maybe it's one person. I mean, there's people talk about soulmates and twin flames, but no, it seems that doesn't satisfy. I tried that; that doesn't work. It's like more than that. I need people who I can meet on the mental level, who understand how I feel about things. That's what we call your soul group and your tribe. And everybody's got one, and that's what we're looking for.
Yeah, well, doesn't that create division, though, if we try to separate so much? The thing is, everything is a paradox. Like, I don't like those people who say, we are all one, we must be one, and blah, blah, blah. And I don't like those who separate themselves into groups. Like, we are the metalheads. We are the hip-hop group. We are the, you know, it's just creates division.
Yes, right. Okay, so here's the thing. Now, back at the beginning when we were invaded by the mafia, they have this one trick. They have two tricks. Their first trick is divide, and their second trick is distract, which means deflect, which means, like, set the two against each other. So they'll say to the man, look at her, she hasn't got one of those. They'll look at the man and talk to the woman and say, look at the guy, he's got one of those things. And then, you look how different you are. Look how bad he is to you. Look how bad she is to you. And set each one against each other. And the propaganda That's what goes into our minds, and that's what sets up these processes in our mind that separate our left and right side, our care and our thinking, our ability to relate to people, our ability to give a damn about anyone in real terms, you know, not to about projecting it outwards and trying to give damn about a cause when all the people all around you are being terrified and terrorized by you, you know, because you're trying to fight the cause and you're angry about everything and you're just going around spreading a negative atmosphere around you, and people don't want to be with you and you don't want to be with anybody because they don't want to be with you, and they express that and they push you further away, and the whole cycle goes on. And then the powers that be have lost, because perhaps you might be very valuable to a community. Maybe you're very resourceful, and that would make a good elder for a community to have around, and you'd benefit from a sense of camaraderie of people who do get you and do understand you and understand the way you feel. That's what I mean about finding a tribe. Does that resonate?
Yeah, it seems decent. Although this programming, I think, might be accidental. I mean, the world of advertisement has just propagated itself from continent to continent, but not in a unified mode. These people here saw that they can use this thing called advertisement invented in that country to better improve their business without realizing that they will kind of morally destroy the people living in this place. They didn't care because of the money. So, you know, this programming, you can say, oh, it's coming from the Illuminati, because I think it's more accidental, but it affects us nonetheless. Do you agree with that?
I don't really believe that accidents happen like that. I'm talking about vibration, and vibration causes. It's a causal factor. So, you know, even I'm caused by the music that I make. You know, the music makes itself
through
me. Okay,
so where does the evil vibration come from?
The evil vibration. Now, that's a very interesting thing. And it's got to do with time and space and holes, and maybe even the Philadelphia experiment and other weirdness like that.
I've heard about that one. But evil has existed since the dawn of man.
Has it? Or has it entered, gone back in time?
Each other.
Get this. Evil could have entered in sort of the present day and gone back in time, established itself in the past, mm-hmm. and created the world that we live in, having, you know, kind of created this weird time loop.
It's an interesting possible theory.
Maybe we should leave that with the people. Yeah.
But it still remains just as a possibility, though.
Yeah, well, everything's about, you know, the universe is, we are living in an infinite universe. We are infinite in ourselves. That means that unless you have self-doubt, you can do whatever you want. And it's only self-doubt that prevents you. That's what I'm saying. And all of the great teachers have said exactly the same thing. It's yourselves that create the problems in your life from your own self-doubt. And the more you stop doubting yourself and start actually feeling how amazing you are, and then other people might even notice as well, but you have to appreciate yourself for the amazing person that you are and love yourself as if you were loving your pet dog or whatever is the thing that is the object of your love. It's your own inner child that we need to get back and go all the way back to our birth and give love to for every moment.
The problem is that there are some people on their on this planet who love themselves too much and creates greed, and it's not good.
That's not love, that's narcissism. and that's psychopathic. Nancy, wrap it up for us, darling.
Yeah, I want to jump in here and talk about the evil and the good question, because if we assume that reality is what we think it is, there's an awful lot of people that believe the Bible is real. So just for the discussion, let's assume that it's a true book, and that when they're discussing in Genesis the devil talking to Eve to get her to take from the tree of knowledge, he says to her, God's telling you not to eat from this tree of knowledge, because if you eat from the tree of knowledge, you will know the difference between good and evil and be like gods.
Yeah.
So, good and evil, it's understanding, it's knowledge. You will not understand evil and good unless you go through experiences where you can compare different events to come to some conclusion of what's good and evil. But if you finally get to some idea of what the difference is between good and evil, then in fact, you will be like gods.
Or you can make another interpretation and say that the human brain is not good enough for the knowledge, because some members of the human population might do very, very evil things and actually self-destroy the whole race in a huge war on the planet.
Wouldn't be any point to it. They've tried. It's not going to happen.
I hope so. I hope we don't get into the transhumanism age when they can just shut us off with the push of a button.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. We're going to go into Humanity 2, which is not Humanity 2.0. It's the organic human. We're going to shine like a light from inside. Bless you, everybody. I really do love you all. And even if I don't like you. Anyway, good night, everybody. This is JP. This was Journeys. Thank you, Vosto. Thank you so much, Vosto. Nancy. Thanks. Bless you all. Bless
you all. Thank you. Come
again. Love you. Love you.
Don't doubt yourself. You're infinite. You are infinite.